Okay. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for inviting me here. I'm very pleased to be here. I've never been to this meeting before, and it's nice to see all of you. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. I've been in OA since 1989, but let me tell you a little bit about growing up and how that contributed to, I believe that contributed to my compulsive overeating, and then I'll get into what happened after I joined the program. My mom was a housewife. She suffered from depression. She was quite overweight and a sugar addict. My father was a World War II veteran. He suffered neurological problems, and he was also an overeater. He was a clock eater. So he could get up at like 9 o'clock and have breakfast, but if it was 12 o'clock, he'd have to have lunch. He was a clock eater. And so because my parents had these problems, I spent a lot of time on my own. I don't know quite why, but it just seemed to me the better way to be as a kid. So, I was quite alone, lonely as a kid. But one of the things that helped my loneliness was overeating. And I had a grandmother. I had a grandmother who lived downstairs in our two-family home. And she was the most affectionate, loving grandmother I've ever had. And she would cook with me, and she would make all these sweet treats, cakes, cookies, all kinds of things. And very early on, I think it triggered my connection between love and food. I think I was born a compulsive overeater, but I think as a kid, I think that's where it started. I think that's where my connection was there. So I went to college, I went to graduate school, I became a social worker, and a therapist. And I was working in my 20s, always feeling a sense of disconnection because I always struggled with feeling like an imposter. Even throughout my school years, I was very successful in school, but I still felt like an imposter all the time. And I coped by overeating. And I got married very young. I got married when I was 20, and I had my first child at 22. And in my first marriage, I was not a very considerate man or a very kind man. Excuse me. And a lot of my character defects greatly affected the marriage. Excuse me, my allergies are really crazy today. By the time I was 30, I tried multiple diets and programs, all of which did not work, which made me only feel more demoralized and ashamed. Basically, I was eating whatever and whenever I wanted. I was eating 4 to 5 times a day. I was continuing to eat food that was high in sugar content. I would sometimes throw food out, and then I would take it out of the garbage to eat it. I would use carbs, mostly pastas, to manage my emotions when I wanted to check out. Nothing like a pound of pasta to make you check out. But despite my success at work, I got some promotions, and the promotions put me in charge of a program that was a real challenge for me emotionally. And I was working with juvenile delinquents at that time, and they're very tough. And if you've ever worked with adolescents, the combination was really difficult for me to do. So I went into therapy. And it wasn't long before my therapist said to me, "Do you know you're a compulsive overeater?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "No, you're a compulsive overeater. I can tell from what you're telling me." This was completely news to me. Okay, talk about denial. I had no sense that I was a compulsive overeater. And I said to him, "I guess I was out to lunch. I never knew I was a compulsive overeater." But he pushed me. He pushed me to go to OA, and I was really fighting it because being in the helping profession, it was very difficult for me to accept help. And I would be lying if I didn't tell you that I came into OA for the vanity and to lose the weight. I was not interested in any changes in to myself or my or my character at that point. And in fact, coming to OA was seen as a personal failure. So I came to OA. My first meeting was in 1989. I was 34 years old. I made several attempts to go to the meeting before my higher power gave me the courage to actually go in and sit. And like anybody else that goes to a big meeting in the beginning, I sat in the back of the room, anxious and wanting to isolate. But I saw that people were happy, they were laughing, they were hugging each other, and I was very I'm sorry, how much of my presentation did you miss?
Sorry about that. Just like 20 seconds.
Oh, okay. I don't know what happened. Okay. No problem. Let me know if it happens again. So I sat in the back of the room. People were wonderful. And I felt like this was a place where I could belong and where I could be accepted because the stories I was hearing were my stories. Okay. But I still had no intention on working on myself. I just wanted to lose weight. It was like another diet program for me. I found a sponsor and I worked, in those days, we used to work the first 30 questions. I lost 80 pounds, became physically abstinent, and I followed a food plan, and I had all kinds of friendships in program, but I was not honest with my sponsor. I was lying to him. I wasn't telling him that I wasn't working any spiritual or emotional aspects of the program. Okay, I was really unable to let go of being grandiose and never really hitting bottom or accepting any kind of humility for my position in the program. But on the outside, I looked good. And because I looked good, I was elected group leader for that particular meeting because of how much weight I had lost. But you know, the funny thing is, we talk about self-sabotage. I could not tolerate the notoriety of the position and the responsibility of the position. And I relapsed. I relapsed and I stopped attending this meeting. I abandoned my sponsor, not calling or returning his phone calls. I never went back to that meeting again. And I was out of program for just a few months. And then my higher power brought me back to a new meeting a few months later, and I sought a new sponsor to work with. And thanks to my higher power, I found Phil. And at that point, I made a decision never to stop working with my sponsor and follow all aspects of the program. You know, returning to program, I had a fear of condemnation. Instead, I found nothing but love and affection and support. It's a wonderful quality of our program that we are always welcome as long as we have a desire to stop eating compulsively. My sponsor, Phil, was like a second father to me. Okay, he helped me deepen my program, and my relationship with my higher power through prayer and meditation. We worked the steps together. He helped me develop that personal relationship with God and helped me to understand how I can draw on strength and love and affection and perseverance in recovery through surrendering to a higher power. I worked with my sponsor to address my character defects and especially my grandiosity, my self-centeredness, my controlling nature, and I started to make changes. My sponsor took me through the steps and helped me understand that this is a lifelong journey. There's no graduation in OA, and there shouldn't be because we're all, you know, we need each other and we need our program and our higher power forever. I learned that my character defects were useful at one time, but not any longer. My character defects undermine my efforts at a sane and useful life. My character defects of being controlling and selfish really poisoned my first marriage and compromised my relationship with my first daughter. There was a real absence of good communication in our racial relationship, and by no surprise, we ended up getting divorced. But my sponsor was there to help me deal with my divorce because divorce made me feel awfully guilty and horrible. And my higher power at that time was a source of strength, and my community, my fellows, held me up during the very dark times. My sponsor also helped me develop a program of exercise to help with stress relief. And he did support my 7 years in therapy. Gradually, through program, my higher power, and my community, I made improvements in my life. I was able to start dating after my divorce and remarried. I remarried in 1994. And from that relationship, I had a beautiful stepdaughter. My sponsor really helped me understand unrealistic ideas about relationships. My higher power and program helped me to improve my self-esteem and love myself, knowing that HP loved me and wanted the best for me. I changed jobs. I went from working with delinquents to working at a hospital, and it was really quite night and day kind of work. But my higher power and sponsor were there, and I didn't relapse, despite the fact that in the beginning of that job, it was really, really hard. I purchased a home, and the home had difficulties with it. It was the beginning of the finding mold in old homes again kind of things. But I got it taken care of, and my higher power and sponsor helped me through that again. Phil, as I say, was like a father to me. And after 10 years of our working together, he passed away of pancreatic cancer. I cannot tell you how devastating that was for me. And I could not bring myself initially to getting a new sponsor. Okay. And because I felt like nobody could replace Phil. But that idea was okay. That idea was sadness and mourning, but it really was my ego interfering with preventing me from taking steps to stay abstinent and to get a new sponsor. I can't work the program without a sponsor. And my reluctance, to get a new sponsor was just the very beginning of another relapse, and I didn't realize it. But I continued to attend meetings, and I stayed on my food and lead for a long time. And but I didn't have a sponsor, so I don't feel like I was working the program. A year after Phil died, and I'm not going to talk a lot about this, I'm just going to share it. A year after Phil died, my dear stepdaughter died at the age of 20. This was catastrophic for me at the time. I had a variety of feelings. I felt in some way like maybe I was responsible, maybe I was being punished by God for the stuff I've done in the past. I had all kinds of crazy, worrisome, traumatic feelings that I had to deal with. And the only way I thought I could deal with them was I saw like all kinds of intense spiritual experiences at that time. I went to seminars. I trained to be a spiritual director, which is a love of my life. I still do that. But that's all I wanted. I stopped going to program. Okay. All I wanted was to connect myself with people in spirituality centers. And my hero at that time was Richard Rohr. But this was really destructive. And I didn't realize how destructive it was. Because I just wasn't there. I was in relapse. Okay, so I spent 7 years in relapse. I was in full relapse from 2012 to 2019. And during that time, that I always knew I had to return to program. Once you're in OA, OA is like the mafia. Once you're in, you can't never get out. And I knew that I had to return to program. And I was gaining back weight, and some of my character defects were returning, and I began to get frightened and scared and unfeeling unconnected. When I retired in 2019, my higher power gave me the courage to return to program. And I didn't realize that I was being rescued at the time. I went to a men's meeting, an all men's meeting, figuring they would understand why I was in relapse for 7 years, and not condemn me. But they didn't condemn me. They welcomed me back. At first, I didn't think I deserved it, but in time, I realized that we all slip and fall, and we get up and keep going. That's what our higher power wants us to do. We draw on his love and support. I sought a new sponsor in the men's meeting, and they said to me, "No, you've been out for 7 years, And so you've got to go back to a beginner's meeting, and that's where you can get a sponsor. Well, that was sort of another blow to my ego, thinking, look, I've been in programs since 1989. I'm not going to go to a beginner's meeting. But that was my ego. So I swallowed my pride and I went to the beginner's meeting. And after being there for a while, I had a very big meeting, about 50 people in person, about 50 people. They had a sponsor coordinator. And I went to the sponsor coordinator and sought out a new sponsor. And shortly after that, I got a call from my new sponsor and my current sponsor, Dave. Higher power brought us together. There's no doubt about it. There are so many similarities that we have, including we both have lost children, and we both love movies and science fiction. And we just talk a lot about when we're not talking about program, we're talking about science fiction or we're talking about movies. And we just have a great time. He's my dear friend. Thanks to my higher power, Dave, and my community, I regained my abstinence. I lost the weight that I had gained, began to start working on getting my character defects back to where they needed to be, and surrendering once again to a higher power. I talk about community a lot. The notion of community is very important to me. I attend a daily 7 a.m. meeting with actually some of the people that are here today. And it is overwhelmingly wonderful. It's full of recovery, compassion, and caring. And I've been attending that meeting for almost a year now. And it just starts my day. And I go every single day. It's just a lovely meeting. Let me tell you a little bit about how I work my program now. I have a daily surrender to God through prayer and meditation. I speak to my sponsor daily. We read something. I usually write on what we read. We talk about it. And we are real, 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 we're really lucky to have a sponsor, okay? Where else can you get up every day and talk to someone about things that are bothering you? I almost feel sorry for people that don't have sponsors because I just think it's a great way to go through life. I continue to improve my spiritual connection to God. My physical program of exercise is back. Like I said, I lost the weight that I had gained. I'm eating healthy in a food plan again. I do service at both the intergroup and Region 6 level. I'm co-chair of the Rochester Intergroup, and I am co-chair of the Region 6 convention this year. Those of you in Region 6, I hope you come. I have a firm belief about
Gentle
how
reminder,
important
2 minutes.
at Thank you very much. I have a firm belief in how important service is. I'm happily married for 31 years. Enjoying a peaceful retirement in a very quiet part of New York. My only struggle right now is my mother, who has she's sort of in the middle stage of Alzheimer's. And she still lives in her apartment in Queens. She's 96. And so trying to keep her in her apartment for as long as possible is a great source of stress for me right now. But I'm doing the best I can with her, and that's the only really unhappy part of my life. So I think that's it. I think that's my story. And I'm just so grateful to be in OA, and I'm so grateful for everything OA has given me. And I'm so grateful to have a chance to share my story with you. So I hope you found it interesting. Thanks so much.